This is all the RV park. It's the double wide where the manager lives and the RV park.
Well, we've got two parks.
We recognize.
Right. Sure. Yeah. One's where you go into the park.
I'm just telling you, we have two parks in the city.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting snappy.
Yeah. You need your nap.
Please enter your.
My gosh.
Donna, is that another mouse over there?
Brandon.
Mr. May, this is Ron House with the Taney County Board of Equalization, and we are calling you regarding appeals you made on property within Taney County. Phone number we can be reached at to reschedule is 417-546-7249. Just mention Board of Equalization when you call. Thank you. We can come back. This next one says FDIC as receiver for Colombian Bank. What have we here?
It looks like a motel. Boy, I got some bubble gum going here, buddy. That's that old fashioned paint kind to stick your teeth together.
Is it a motel or a theater? I'm showing it's a theater. $3,079,600 assessed.
Guess how much per seat they put on it, guys? $2,941 per seat on their appraisal.
Which property is this, James?
Is that the Grand Palace?
It is, probably.
Oh, that's the one I talked to. It's a teleconference on it. Are you ready for the number?
I am.
281-657-4971. And the gentleman is Scott Young.
Scott Young?
Please enter your account code.
This is Scott.
Scott, this is Ron Houseman with the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Hello, Mr. Houseman. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I have you on speakerphone, and the Board of Equalization for the county is here, which includes the county assessor and county clerk. And you have appealed a piece of property with the county. And if you are ready, we're ready to take that parcel up.
Okay.
Could you check? We have some information that you have sent us on the screen, and we're ready to hear whatever it is that you have to say about it.
Okay, so you're in there, Ms. Neely's there, and Mr. Strahan?
Yes, and the other four members of the Board of Equalization.
Okay. Well, this is the Grand Palace Theater. I'm going to start off the same arguments I had last year, that, you know, this, they exacerbated the damage we have. You know, last year in February, we had the tornado go through there and destroyed the marquee and destroyed the roof. And also last year, we talked about the all the electrical has been stripped out by vandals. And so there's no power, therefore no cooling. The only electricity we have in there is by temporary power to keep the emergency lights on. But what has happened since then, since the roof is damaged, the roof went damaged, and the storm leaks, you know, it's just the leaks have actually damaged the interior even worse. There's a big mold problem in there, and that's becoming even worse because there's no air conditioning. The most recent appraisal that y'all have a copy of right there actually recommends demoing the site for to get the most value out of the property. And it's actually come a 90,000 square foot petri dish. You know, we cannot sell the property right now because of all the legal issues with it. The problem is that the operator had a contract before the bank took over the asset. He put in a sound system, and then the bank went out of business, and the of course, and there's a lawsuit who actually owns the lighting and the sound equipment, but that's kind of a moot point because the sound equipment was stolen when they stole all the electrical stripped out of it. Now, we discussed all this last year with Mr. Strahan, and we discussed reducing the value to $6.7 million, and I see that didn't happen. So we've got a value of $9.6 million on it, and I've provided comps and certified appraisal. Is showing that the most this thing is worth is $3.1 million this year as of end of last year. We have got, we truly have tried, cannot market this, but the we would probably take less than $1 million for this property if someone would offer us money on it and take on the legal issues we have.
This is James Strahan. I know that there was talk about this property last year, and but wasn't there someone stepped in and bought it on the courthouse steps, but then couldn't come up with the financing 3 or 4 weeks later or something? Didn't they?
The problem is that these legal issues that happened before, we cannot sell the property with a list pendant on it, and when they filed about, I can't tell you all the details. We have an attorney named Desiree Harris here in Missouri that's trying to get this stuff cleared up, is that when this person put this sound system in there to put on his concert, the concert failed, well, they put the asset put a lien against the asset. And we cannot get that cleared up, so no one can actually really buy the property unless they will dismiss the lawsuit. And of course, we're...
How much is the sound system worth?
Legal fees with this already.
How much is the sound system worth?
Yeah, that really happened, but I don't believe that someone could buy it with the list pendant on it.
Well, there was a lady bought it, I know, for, I believe, we were looking at $9 million, and I think she bid in at up close to $8 something, and then she couldn't come up with the financing after we decided.
Well, I talked to the council today, and he said that since the years they've had, the only offer they've had on it was $3.3 million. And if the only value to this property now is the land. I told you the most recent appraisal recommends demolishing the building. The seats are all molded. They're all ruined. The sprinkler system, that was an issue that they had before. The sprinkler system actually flooded the theater. That was prior to the FDIC inheriting this property, which, you know, damaged the, started the damage on it. But the roof leaks and, you know, the wind damage, I think the marquee, we discussed that last year. I think that they'll actually, someone actually used that as a staging site when the tornado went through there in February. And some of the pictures there in the paper actually features the theater in the background. So my goal right now is to have this, the market value reduced down to around $3 million on this asset. Yeah, even though that is probably twice as much as we could probably sell it for, I have evidence that it's worth $3 million. I can't provide proof that it's worth half that until, but I know right now we would take that if someone come across that money.
Move back down to the very top. Estimated land value is though vacant.
Yeah, I believe y'all got the estimated land value at $1 million. I can't remember exactly, but I had it up here on the screen earlier.
Well, we're looking at the documentation that has either been sent to you or sent by you or someone else to us, and it's talking about
me.
Well, you have estimated value by cost approach, estimated value by market approach. You have estimated land value as though vacant at $7 a square foot for $4,040,000.
Let me get to that. Okay, I'm looking at that page right now. The it said the recommended land value, estimated value by cost approach, $4.5 million. Land value is as though vacant, $4 million. Yeah, that's fine. But again, that is vacant, and you know, see what there's $500,000 worth of demolition costs in there. Estimated value by market approach, $4.2 million. The 4.3 final value includes $4.2 million. And then the appraiser, and I'm not a certified appraiser, but he actually puts in there a disposition value on the thing.
Mr. Young, I have a board member. We've been going through these figures, and we're scrolling on the screen. It's not that we're not looking at anything. We're just looking at figures as they go by. I have a board member, I think, that wants to say something. Yes, sir?
Drop it back down there.
Pull that back down to what we were looking at there a moment ago on. There you go. Keep going. Keep going. Good.
Unless there's some other discussion, I'm going to make a motion on the $4,040,000, $7 a square foot for the real estate.
Is there a second?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Hold on, and I'll repeat it to you in just a moment. Is there a second to that motion? A motion has been made and seconded to lower the overall appraised value of this property and structures to $4,040,000. Now we're open for discussion. Is there something else you wish to say to that, sir?
Okay, let me see where that is on the page. I'm doing like you are. I am scrolling down through this document here. And the $4,040,000 estimated land value as though vacant was $4,040,000 if the property was vacant. And I'd like for you to take note of that as offered to remove the improvements for $500,000 as of 2008.
We're reading all that.
Okay. Yes, that's a statement I like to make. That $500,000 to convert it over to a vacant property, I think, should be noted.
Gentlemen, the motion's on the floor for $4,040,000. His request is that we look at the $500,000 that's been estimated to demolish the structures that are on the building, in other words, to make it completely vacant. So let's discuss the motion on the floor of $4,040,000. Jeff, Brandon? No? Randy? Danny? Motion on the floor is $4,040,000 to lower the overall valuation of this property from $9,623,957 to the amount I forestated on property number BOE number 2013-128, commonly known as the Old Grand Palace. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Sir, we're going to send you in writing the decision of this board. We're also going to send information to you that if you in any way disagree with us, you will have the ability to appeal this decision to the Missouri State Tax Commission.
Okay.
And we'll provide you with how you do that and make it as easy as possible should you choose to do so.
Okay, I'm familiar with that process. All right, Mr. Hoffman, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And Ms. Neely will be sending me this letter.
She's sitting right here, and yes, she will, hopefully within the next week.
Forgive me, you're the only one I can hear. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
I don't have the number right here, but I'd make a motion to reconsider the motel we talked about earlier this morning.
Which, where was that?
The one we valued at $18 a square foot.
Okay, that would have been under Delta Ridge. It says housing, but it's hosting. That was 2013-76.
Are you making a motion to reconsider?
Yes.
What are you making your motion at, sir? What will be your motion? Or are you just asking for a motion to reconsider?
Motion to reconsider.
There's a motion on the floor to reconsider a previous motion, which means that we will have the opportunity to rediscuss that motion if the motion for reconsideration passes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and second for reconsideration of an earlier decision regarding BOE number 2013-76. Discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Mr. Strahan.
I would like to, I made the motion this morning to consider $18 or $18,000 on per key. I would like to lower that to $15,000 per key as we considered the last motel that was here and looked at the cost value, so. My motion is to lower it to $15,000 per room.
Okay, if my calculations back out properly, that would have made it 68 units. Is that right, Donna?
Right. $1,200,000.
I get $1,000,000.
Yeah, $1,000,000.
$20,000. So your motion is to establish 2013-76 at $1,020,000?
Yes.
Is there a second? Motion's been seconded. Is there discussion on the motion to establish $15,000 per unit instead of the previously established $18,000 for Delta Ridge Hosting, BOE number 2013-76? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
What value do
you
have?
Can you let the record show that Jeff abstained because he wasn't here? Please.
Did Jeff abstain?
Yes.
He wasn't here for the original vote.
On the first one, okay.
What was that number?
BOE number.
No, the value.
The value would be $1,020,000. 1020. 000.
This next one to call you, say.
I'm sorry?
The next one is actually on evidence. They said if you wanted to, you could get that money, go on to call
them. Well, let's go ahead. We've got the Woodlands, and I see two parcels when I call this out. But there's only number one that they're discussing, 0.001. I guess so. Okay.
That's what I have.
Boulevard, I got it. Oh, this is the Woodlands.
Low income apartments, so it says.
Well, I'm curious. What are they asking it to be lowered to?
$409,448.
Assessed?
Assessed is $77,795.
What? Okay, the appraised, that you mean they are asking for?
For the appraised. The assessed value at $77,795 is currently $211,410.
I'm only going to ask you one more time, and I apologize. And the appraised, am I looking at this right, is 112703?
One. I have a different number, but theirs is accurate. Mine's a calculation.
Is that what you've got, James? It's $1,112,703?
Yep. Didn't we look at this 2 years ago?
I don't know. We've looked at many of these subsidized housing things.
I'm sure we looked at this 2 years ago. I think if you look back, we had a reduction 2 years ago because of the subsidized housing. This is a Woodlands, isn't it, out where I'm... That's what I'm thinking about.
Gentlemen, can I interrupt for just a second? I have a note that says, per conversation with Mary Neal for her appointment, this matter is still pending at Bloomberg State Tax Commission. This appeal is just a formality maintaining their right to appeal to the State Tax Commission. Is that what you had?
Yeah, they were heard in 2011. You can see it right here, and that was denied, and they appealed to the State Tax Commission.
A motion to deny, then. That's their request.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny request allowing these taxpayers to continue pursuing the State Tax Commission. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
When's a fourth coming? Jolly Rancher down there. I'm fixing to call Joe.
What time? We had him scheduled for Friday. Oh. Yeah, so that was 314-568-1086. Yes. And I left him a message to call back, right? Has he?
I don't have anything. They were from me. I just left to your attention.
I think that if he were there, surely he would call.
Okay, for Worldmark is next then. They have 8 parcels that they're raising. They're all contained.
They're going to be here at 345, is that what I understand?
No, that's 8.
Pardon?
We didn't do anything.
This is?
Yeah, well,
you'll take them up at the end of the day.
Well. These all condos, James?
Yeah. These are condos that's drifted off into the timeshare business that actually sells herself on points. You can gather up points and go anywhere in the world, I suppose. In the past, we've not looked at them as a straight timeshare because of the point system. We've treated them full commercial because of the point system. A timeshare building itself can be part residential because that's been established through Chuck's time all the way through. We have hammered this with. Oh my. We're not making a dollar an hour, I'll guarantee you.
Yeah. Well, James, I clicked on your very first one that we had before we go, and my question is this. We're looking at a breakdown of 601,444 residential improvements, and then the commercial is 78,393.
Right.
So I'd say this was weighed heavily against being commercial and being residential, right?
That was passed with the new statute, becomes applicable this year, that says the Supreme Court was wrong in using the word availability, that through the timeshare business you can use actuals. And it is a statute that has been passed that I applied this year to all nightly rentals.
Okay.
The timeshare business is actually the one that got it passed
okay.
to apply to timeshares, but I use it on condos and everything that's in the nightly rental program.
So you have to rely on information from them on each individual condo?
Yes.
My question is, on all of these, are they all going to be, are we going to be questioned in the same manner that they're going to expect that they, or we have to handle each one individually.
It appears to me that they're coming at valuation decreases, and I would look heavily on this board of relying to stay with the valuation we got, because we oblige the timeshare business by not valuing each unit 52 times. We could come up with a tremendous amount of funds, but it'd be an impossibility for the assessor to take care of. We value their condo building. We could actually go in and say, hey, you sell $20,000 a year, times 52, that condo's worth 1. So many million dollars. And it'd be a matter of billing it out in the process.
So this $600,000+ is a building that's made up of multiple condos?
That's made up of multiple timeshares. So 52 times.
Same one condo?
One unit.
So Wyndham, I think, is... Yeah, same way. Wyndham and...
That's what I'm asking.
All right.
Is it one condo for one family and only one family a night, or can we have...
They can actually just sell a timeshare 50 times a year or 48. They can't sell it the full 52 times.
I think there's six.
It says number 1 through 5. That's why I'm asking this
They're
question.
For
there's
five.
One of them
for some reason.
Five rooms? Five
in that
condos?
Unit? Well, I would think that would be more like it with the $640,000.
That's what I've asked. It's a pretty good condo for $640,000.
How big a unit is this?
I don't think any.
Just a minute, we can tell you.
Those condos are worth $604,000.
That's where I was headed.
It's big. It's a big building that's got several in it.
Okay.
It's base areas.
This says number 1-5. Does that mean that there's five?
But there wouldn't be. It'd be five.
It's just a dollar.
One, two, three, four, five.
That's all it is.
Actually.
Hey, Ron, that first one looks like it's 9.
Why don't you draw one of them out? Let's see.
Three of them are 2-bedroom, 2-bath, and 6 of them are 3-bedroom, 2-bath.
We value them per building.
Right, I'm just to answer his question, how many there was?
How many there were in each building? Oh, Randy's asking if
it was. Just be.
No, let's throw something around.
Kenny's going to go get a drawing and show us what we've got. I don't know why they're calling. They should stay away, basically.
Well, I was trying to get as much information as we could before they get on, because we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 all scheduled at the same time. So
it'll be the same call. I'll take care of all 8 of them. Yeah.
All right.
But I would ask board members to pose a question. Well, we don't value those 52 times per unit. They get kind of spooky when that comes up.
The last two are not valuation, they're classification.
Right.
It's got 280 commercial, and then the next one down is split between res and commercial.
Brandon, you're looking at them. Is each unit got 9, or you're talking about?
No, the... looks like 004, 005, 007, 008 might have 12 units.
Okay, say that again. 004,
005, 007, and 008 looks like it might have 6 two-bedroom, two-bath, another 3 two-bedroom, two-bath, a little smaller, and then 3 one-bedroom, one-bath.
Are you looking at a drawing or at...
Look at the information she's got.
All that information there. They're set up kind of like apartment houses, I think.
Yeah. So it looks like I'm with.
And they are at... Okay. Do we have a request from them on what they would like to see it valued at?
Quite a reduction.
No.
I don't have any request in values. Do you have anything?
I thought we did.
3303 is on at 679,000, where they're asking for 472.
What's that summary of value allocation recommendations?
Oh, well, he says that they're like 9 and 12 per.
James, is that it? Or Ron, whoever asked?
Almost
It's a three-story, if they're two-story, but this is each individual unit, that's not a big unit, that's what we're going to have. Drew, because I didn't want it down, I didn't want it to be. So I split each unit out according to the plan. So that's why we just put that in, so.
Get back to that. Okay. Sell it to the house, man. Where's it at?
Thousand hills, of course, it is there.
Oh, that's him up on the top there.
Well, you go down. Can't think of the name of it, but you're in the morning. There's a stop sign, it's got flashing lights on chain, right?
These are out at Thousand Hills. Big old flower bed out in the middle of it. You talking about Fall Creek Road?
Thousand Hills.
Thousand Hills.
It's right up there. Actually, you go off of Fall Creek Road up there.
It is off of Fall Creek Road, kind of.
Before you get to Luther Harkins's old place, you turn to the right, go through an old flower beddy looking place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the back side.
There's about a tree in the plant, just that.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
They got a big.
Read a piss tonight.
What am I trying to say? Big plug out. Preservation Center.
2,000 people already shake hands with.
Okay. Thanks, Kenny.
We having fun today, Jeff?
Fall today, yeah. Are we ready, everybody? You have a phone number for me, ladies?
Yes. It's 360-750-6884.
And?
Gregory D'Amico?
Ron here is right here with a real question. $472,135 for the appraised value on the first one. $520,063 on 04 and 05. Can you see it there? Far right?
Yep.
$670,828 and then assessed at $137,640. Took me a lot of time to find it.
So where Dwight's place is, there used to be, it's right across the street. Yeah. Where it was Dan.
Right on the golf course?
Yeah, they'd be on the south side of the golf course, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
These are sitting, yeah, right on.
Yeah, just south, east part of it.
If you turn there at that Ozark Mountain Bank and start up over the hill, you're looking at them right to the south, aren't you?
Yeah, up on the hill, yeah.
Yeah. You know where Ozark Mountain Bank is on Fall Creek Road. If you turn up that road and you get up there and you'll be looking at the clubhouse in front of you, you look to the left, to the south, and there
are. It's the south or the west? South?
Southwest.
Yeah, be across the hollow. Yeah.
If you went off Hall Creek, right across from Dwight Sprague's.
Interesting.
Or Bill Nevins lived right up the road there.
Right.
It's right there.
Yeah, that entrance is.
Please enter your account code.
Yes, I was calling for Gregory D'Amico.
I'm sorry, who did you say? What was your name?
My name is Ron Houseman. I'm with the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Oh, sure. One moment, please. Hi, is this Ron?
Yes, it is.
This is Mike DeSalvo and Portia Howard with Tax Advisors. We work with Greg D'Amico, and I actually worked on the evidence put together on this. So,
Mike, who else is there? Mike DeSalvo and whom?
Yeah, my name is Portia Howard. Can you hear me okay?
No.
Try. Okay. We turned up the volume, but I'm moving closer. Does that help?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. And again, my name is Portia Howard, first name spelled P as in Patrick, O-R, T as in Tom, I-A.
My name is Ron Houseman, and with me is the entire Board of Equalization, which also includes the county assessor and the county clerk. And we have you on speakerphone, so we can all hear you, and hopefully you can hear all of us when we speak. And we are ready when you're ready to talk about the properties that you have appealed the assessment on.
May I first ask, how much time do we have, please?
The assessor's holding up 1 minute finger, but you're going to
have...
1 minute? You're going to have...
We probably already expended that time. So.
We're going to give you plenty of time to talk about these properties.
Okay, all right, thank you. Why don't you dive into that?
Okay, so to begin, we filed appeals on 8 properties, and we supplied, in our initial packet, we supplied evidence, page 104, I'm going to kind of stick with to begin with. I tried to break it out, but everything that is in red, do you have color printed copies, or are they black and white?
Well, what we have on the screen is colored.
Okay, great. So in the middle section, you'll see about 6 parcels that are colored red.
Yes, we see them.
So those are the parcels that we filed appeals on. The other parcels are part of the resort, but things that are parcels we're not taking issues with. And there are 2 red parcels kind of towards the bottom. They're about within the last 3 from the bottom there. And those are 2 condo unit parcels that WorldMark had at one time been using for commercial purposes. They were renting them out to non-members. And so the county classified them with the commercial assessment ratio. And in our most recent discussions with the property and WorldMark, it turns out that they are no longer using units 302 and 303 for those purposes, that those units are strictly being used by their WorldMark members. So they should probably be, the assessment ratio should be the residential. However, they are using units 101 and 102, which are also summarized on this table. They're the first 2 below that one grouping up top. And those are being used now to be rented out to non-WorldMark members. So those assessment ratios should probably be increased to the commercial. And so I wanted to bring that to the county's attention. I know we filed an appeal on it initially, and as we investigated it, we found out those facts. So
I don't know if there's a way to address that, but we basically should have, it's basically a switch between 101 and 102 with 302 and 303. Is there any way to remedy that at this point?
Well, hold on just a minute. Scroll back over to the left for me. Thank you. Now, what I need to do, James, obviously, is identify these or associate them with property numbers.
Okay.
Now, you're probably working to do that. Would you tell us again the building first that you're talking about on 302 and 303? Or is that the building?
Yeah, building one.
Building one, okay.
Phase one, unit 302, and phase one, unit 303.
Yeah, and the unit number actually matches the last three digits of the parcel number. Does that help?
That helps.
Identify which parcel?
I've got those figured out, but the other two is coming hard to, getting hard to come
I'm
by
sorry.
Here.
I'm sorry, I didn't have any difficulty hearing.
What he said was, we've got that part of it figured out. We're looking for the last part that you gave us, and we'll put a telephone speaker closer to him, but go ahead.
What building?
Thank you.
Yeah, what building are they in?
Units 101 and 102 are also in building one. They are parcel ID numbers. They would be 18-1.0-12-001-033.101, and then the other one would be 0.102.
Right there on the screen.
So I actually have them summarized in that table, page 104. They're the first two below the grouping, the big grouping of red. So I don't know if we can remedy that. I know we didn't file an appeal on those two, but...
Yeah, I don't have those in hand because, yeah, you said something important there. We didn't file an appeal on them. So...
But he wants to make it...
Right.
/commercial.
Right. Kenny will have to go get those.
I don't know if that's something that can be remedied here, but that's probably
so
something
much
there.
Commercial, so much residential.
But the majority is commercial.
I think so.
Look and make sure. They're wanting to make sure the majority of those is commercial. Slow down now. Slow down.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just was saying that, you know, I don't know if that's something that we can remedy here or how we want to go about fixing that maybe in future years or...
Now would be the time to take care of it.
Okay.
I've sent an appraiser after the card so we'll know what we're talking about.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Should we proceed?
Do you want me to proceed with the other grouping, or?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, great. So for the next six parcels that are the larger parcels above, here's what we concluded. I'll just try to simplify here. If you were to look at the total assessed value per square foot, do you see that column? It's in the middle bracket. And it's about 3 over from the left. You'll see total assessed value, assessment ratio, and then total AV per square foot. Do you see that column?
Yes.
And if you scroll down and you look at the individual condominiumized units just below that big grouping, you'll see that for building one, you'll see that the per square foot assessed values for the condo units range from $60 to $69 a square foot. Now, those per square foot values apply also to the units, or the economic units, for those six parcels that we appealed. And just to kind of give you a little bit about my background, I used to work as an appraiser for PGP Valuation and now Colliers International, and I have about 7 years of appraisal experience under my belt. I'm not a licensed appraiser or anything like that. I came to work for a tax advisor about 2 years ago. But typically, when we look at, you know, an individual condo unit, you know, you value the full retail value for that condo unit because you have, you know, one buyer will pay full price for one condo unit. And you've got a pool of, you know, the buying pool is much larger. But when you go to sell, like an apartment building, which is comprised of multiple units, they're not going to pay the full price that they pay for a single condo unit for that apartment building. They're going to pay a reduced price per unit because they're buying multiple units. And in the appraisal realm, we call that a bulk sale purchase to a single purchaser. And so, or bulk sale value to a single purchaser. And so what we're proposing is to take the individual values of the condo unit and then discount those values to get to a bulk sale value to a single purchaser. That means that we're basically saying a buyer of multiple condo units is going to pay less on a per unit basis than they would for one single unit. And that has to do with the fact that there's going to be the buying pool for multiple units is going to be smaller than the buying pool of an individual condo unit. Not many people are going to have that capital available. And it also goes to the fact that if you were to buy this economic unit as is, condominiumize it, and sell off the individual units, there's going to be a holding cost, there's going to be risk, there's going to be expenses incurred during the sellout that is going to reduce the return to that single buyer. And so that's basically how we approached this value. And on the subsequent pages 2 through 4, I just kind of showed our discounted cash flow analysis and the assumptions we made. And you can see that we're concluding inventory to be sold at about 2 units per month. So we're predicting a sell-off period that's pretty aggressive. We're saying that they could sell 2 units per month if they were to put this to market. And the first unit we are not discounting, we're giving full value to. We're saying, okay, if somebody were to buy one condo unit, they'll pay full value and they're going to pay a discounted price for everything thereafter. And then we're deducting the cost for one to convert, and two, the real estate, closing costs, sales and marketing, unearned entrepreneurial profit, and then we're discounting the cash flow. And it results in a value that we feel is more supportable for market. And I want to just read from you. There's a book that we have from the Appraisal Institute called The Dictionary of Real Estate Appraisal. And it talks about the bulk sale valuation scenario. And it says, in subdivision development analysis, a specific appraisal problem in which a group of properties is evaluated to form an opinion of bulk value, the underlying premise is the valuation of an entire group of lots or units to one purchaser as one sale. The valuation scenario considers the individual value of each property, the absorption period needed to sell the entire property inventory over time, and appropriate deductions and discounting for holding and sale costs as well as profit. Lending institutions typically require an analysis of the bulk sale valuation scenario as part of the financing of tract development. And so that's basically what we're applying here. And so we're saying we agree with the assessor's value of the condominiumized unit as the retail individual value. So we're saying for these 6 units that have multiple units, we're just asking that they discount the aggregate retail sum to get to a bulk purchase value, if that makes sense.
It makes sense, but are you under some restriction that they can't be sold out as retail individual condo units?
As currently configured, they cannot be sold off as individual condo units. They would have to be condominiumized. They'd have to go through they'd have to go through planning. They'd have to get the project condominiumized, and then they'd have to market it and sell them off individually.
So currently, only building one is individually condominiumized.
So building one could immediately go to the market and be sold as individual condo units, and they fall under that. They can now be taxed at the full market value of individual condo units.
Whereas building 2 through 7. Not condominiumized, so they could not be sold that way.
Well, now, am I mistaken in the fact that these are timeshares?
Well, they are being used as a timeshare use, but they're not being used as fee interval timeshares. They're not, you know, typically what used to be known as timeshares is that you buy weekly intervals. And that was how timeshares used. The timeshare industry is kind of evolving now to more a vacation credit point system.
Right.
And so for Walmart, you buy into Walmart, you get vacation credits deposited into your accounts, which you can use to stay at any one of their resorts. And so it's not, you're not buying weekly intervals. It's not condominiumized in that sense. It's an actual economic property. It's kind of being used almost, I guess if you were to try to, it'd be almost like a hotel-type use where people are basically using their credits to stay at this resort for a period of time.
Right. And I know back some time ago when we discussed these issues, it was spoke at the time that the taxation process is actually very good to the timeshare industry in the fact that we don't take the sale price of a week and multiply it by 50 to come up with, and then multiply it by six or eight units in the building and come up with the value. But it sounds to me like now that we're trying to come up with an appraisal practice that leaves the decision to the timeshare industry, WorldMart, whether they're going to split their condominiums out through planning and zoning and sell them out individually, or if we're to appraise them as an entire unit to be sold out. And the entire unit sellout sounds a lot more difficult than selling the individual unit. But it appears that you're asking of the taxation process to back into this situation for the timeshare industry in valuation. I've read actually what you quoted there a while ago about bulk sales. We were looking at that in subdivision. We call it contractor values. But this is the first time I've ever seen it stretched out into the timeshare industry.
So I guess to answer your question, we're trying to figure out, what we're trying to do is approach the value from a real property perspective. So we're not trying to value any business value. If we were to value it as a timeshare, there would be a huge going concern component. But, you know, it kind of goes to the issue is if you had two apartment complexes that were built the exact same developer, same makeup, and one was being used as a timeshare and the other was being used as an apartment, you know, does the real property value then change, or is there a going concern component that's affiliated with the timeshare versus the apartment complex? And so what we're saying is, okay, well, to focus in on the property value, the real property, not the business value, not, you know, going concern, but the property value, you would look at it as what its most probable use would be, or what we call a value in exchange. And so we're kind of approaching it from that perspective. We're looking at it as a condo unit value, if that makes sense. And that was my mind frame approaching that. But to go off what you were saying about the timeshare industry, I think for WorldMark it becomes even more difficult because these things aren't sold in weekly intervals. They're actually sold. They're not even sold. They're actually, it's a transfer of credits. And those credits can range from all types of things that can be traded in for cruises. And so it's been very difficult. We've had other counties try to tell us, well, you got to value it under the credit system. And it's very, very clear. Once we kind of walk them through the whole process, it's pretty much impossible. You know, no money actually trades hands.
Yeah, what makes the WorldMark system so attractive is this credit-based system allows for a great deal of flexibility to trade it in. It's lots of resorts located throughout the country. And as Mike alluded to, you can use these credits for cruises, and you can use it for airfare, and you can use it for tickets, and for a variety of different other packages and services. So really what you're buying when you become a WorldMark owner is a very, very flexible ownership plan, which makes it far more valuable than being tied to a single unit, a single resort for a specified week.
Do you have any idea what you've said? Do you have any idea what you have sold one building for? Do you have? I didn't see that on your financial. You throw it up on the screen of what has one building with 9 units in it sold. How much have you sold out of that unit, out of that building? The worth of that building.
What is that? So I'm sorry, we're having a tad bit of difficulty hearing you. So let's see, are you asking us if we know what one of these buildings, a single building, would sell for? Is that correct?
What you have sold it for, not what you're trying to evaluate it for. What you have sold, WorldMart has been there some time, and I'm assuming pretty well sold out on units.
No, see, they're not. they don't sell out at the property level. What they do is Walmart sells memberships, and those members can stay at any resort. And so there's nothing being sold at the subject. In fact, if you were to look at their income and expense statements, you would see $0 of income, and it's just all expenses, except for maybe a few rent, a few merchant items, but nothing. You see $0 for rental income on the P&L. It's not some. They don't sell anything at the property.
What is the cost? What is the cost of a membership then?
Well, that varies depending on partially when you buy and how well the negotiator you are. But again, when you buy into a membership, and also too, it depends if you buy on the primary market or the secondary market, and there's different benefits that come with buying either or.
And the number of credits.
The number of credits.
Standard membership or premium membership, which gives you ownership into perpetuity. Standard membership is ownership for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so what happens is when you buy into these credits, you pay a one-time fee, and then these credits that you buy in are redeposited every year, and you have for no additional cost.
Except
the maintenance fee. But, I mean, you're basically, what you do is, if I were to buy 10,000 credits, for example, I would now own that. Those 10,000 credits would be redeposited in my account for the lifetime of my membership, whether 40 years or into perpetuity. And so then how do you then value the credit, an annual reoccurring credit that you paid one time for? And so depending, members who bought in 40 years ago and paid substantially less for that buy-in credit still have the same benefits as members who buy in today. And so there's, it just makes it nearly impossible to value.
Well, if I were to come over and buy 10,000 credits, what would it cost me?
I couldn't answer that question, for you, to be honest. It would really depend upon the package you.
Well, I mean, I would want a 40-year package because I'd be 100 then, but I'd want to stretch it out as far as I could. No. But I just wonder what the cost of 10,000 credits on the 40-year package.
Well,
yeah, well,
didn't
we check on the secondary market? On the secondary market, which isn't a... And we look at the secondary market because that removes out the very large markup that goes to marketing these packages, to go to marketing these memberships. But,
it depends. If you're buying annual reoccurring credits, you can go to the secondary market and pay, I think, about 50 cents a credit for, I think. But they're annually reoccurring credits. If you buy one-time used station credits, and those only apply to Walmart members who have been at the property for years. You can pay 4 cents a credit, and those are one-time use. But you have to be a member already to be able to have access to that. So it really does vary. It runs the gamut. I have tried to try to figure out how to value the thing on the credit system, and it's just. It's not really feasible.
Yeah, we consulted with a number of timeshare appraisers about if there's any way to value this, do you think, a value per credit, and they just say it's not feasible because there's such a large intangible component. It's just a very challenging thing to do, and there hasn't been a methodology that...
Yeah, we consulted with appraisers who wrote books on how to appraise timeshare, and they told you, you can't do it. And so that's kind of what we have to do is now to get to the value of the property, we have to say, what's the value in exchange? If you were to buy this property, if another user were to come in and buy this property and use it, what would they most likely use it for, and what are they going to pay to use it for that? And so that's kind of how we're approaching this value, to get to the real property control.
If you're having such a problem with it yourselves, and you're in the business and you own whether you own a credit or however you want to value, and you decided to sell the entire thing, then you could see that it'd be very complicated for the Board of Equalization, the BOE here, to make that decision.
Sure, it is there.
So here's what my recommendation is, that we deny and send you on to the State Tax Commission to let them sort it out.
Do you mind if I say one thing before you make that motion?
Yep, go ahead.
We can get focused on, you know, the fact that it's a timeshare use and that value and credit seems really out there before. What we're trying to do is get to what do they pay property taxes on? They're paying property taxes on the real estate. If I pay $1 million to build something and then I use it, and then I'm Disneyland, I pay $1 million to build something, but because I'm Disneyland, I'm going to be taxed as a Disneyland user. That doesn't change the fact that the real property is still worth what I paid for it. It's $1 million. And so, or cost of construction. The same thing here with this building, and we're just asking the board that we agree with the assessor's approach to value and the value that they came up with for the individual condo units that exist at this resort. But in the terms of the units, which have multiple units, we call them a single economic unit building, we're saying that, well, there needs to be some discount applied to the fact that there are multiple units in one building. You're not just buying one condo unit, you're buying multiple units. And so if we agree with the total retail value of a single condo unit, then the logical explanation here is that, well, if we were to buy a lot of those, one building with a lot of those units, we're going to pay slightly less. And that's what we're asking the board to recognize in terms of the real property value of this resort. And that's our argument.
Exactly. You can sell.
So it's not as complex, I think, as maybe we're getting sidetracked on.
Well, I think what one commissioner was indicating was obviously you're going to be approaching this in multiple areas and not just here alone. And if the State Tax Commission of Missouri is the one that renders the decision, then they're going to make a uniform decision on behalf of all the counties and county boards of equalization, at least across this state.
Okay.
And if, in fact, that motion is made, and if that motion is approved, we would send that information to you within a week and let you know, provide you with all the information that you need to file a timely appeal to the Tax Commission. However, we're still open to discussion here.
Was there a motion made?
No.
No, it wasn't, but I'm leaning that way.
So can you explain that again? I apologize. So that means that they're going to ask the state to give
their opinion
about how this should be approached. Is that?
No. What I said was that if this local board of equalization for this county is to deny your request that in front of us, then you'll have the opportunity to appeal that decision to the Missouri State Tax Commission.
Okay.
Then they, in fact, would make decisions not only for this county but for all counties across the state.
No, I understand.
And we provide those forms. We provide all the instructions to go with on and how an individual or a corporation can appeal that to the Tax Commission. And believe me, that's something that happens annually in all the counties across the state. Gentlemen, more questions?
Motion to deny the request and just leave it to the option of them going to State Tax Commission.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny these requests, which in essence, when they make the appeal, we'll be moving them on to the Missouri State Tax Commission. For BOE property numbers 2013-246, 247, 248, 249, 250, 251, 252, and 253. Discussion?
Yes,
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Mike and Portia, we will get that information to you through the county clerk's office down in Ely ASAP.
Okay, thank you. Thanks
for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Did you not?
That was rescheduled for today at 4 o'clock.
Lowered them all by 60%.
You belong to that, don't you?
No. When I found out that it was like 35,000 and that... I mean, you can get different levels, and they start at like 5,000, 10, and as many points as you want to buy.
Maybe I didn't want 10,000.
What have you got there, Donna?
This is David Browse. You guys asked him for us to move him from the 15th to today at 4 o'clock.
And where were the
telephone contracts?
Can you give us the information, property number, all the...
Property number is 08-80-33-003-001-029.5.
I don't have it.
And the name on it is?
David and Susan Browse, B-R-O-U-S-E.
They purchased it for $195 May 3rd of 2013. It was a foreclosure.
That's a foreclosure.
And the appraised value is?
You have that, Christy.
I guess I can look him up, right?
I just don't have it yet.
$362,500.
Ooh.
I got a good deal.
That's down at the boardwalks. Nah, I can see that. Thanks.
So, before you call in, you have comps on all of those units the same size as what they bought and everything down there? And
they're all set to, you guys set them.
We set them in the landing. That's the reason that I'm going to have this prepared whenever we call them. And
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sales. And 11 and 12, one sale and 13 of how many square feet? Oops, Christy.
Oops, Christy.
Showing 1608 base area, 1654 adjusted area.
1608.
Base area.
I've got sales base areas from 25, 21, 15, 15, 16, 16. From 209 to 435.
Are these an area where it was either last year, maybe it was year before last, and we set a uniform figure for a value for those properties?
We set every one of those in the promenades and the penthouses.
Right.
And so we've just kept those values, but this evidently is one that's come up for foreclosure. We haven't heard from any boardwalks other than this one, and I don't know that we have any boardwalks coming. Other than this.
Others, you mean?
Others. Others, I mean.
Did you say this is a number?
Yes. It is.
Are these the people that are out of state right now?
Mm-hmm.
Traveling?
Well, they were going to be out of state only. 15 to 20 or something like that.
These are the ones I gave you their phone number this morning. I have them.
Yes, I have that somewhere.
Oh, I think I've seen it.
Phone number? I have it.
Got it. Thank you. More discussion about this, James?
I've got a sale here on 503, which that is 508. Last parcel numbers. I got one for 297. But as you guys well know, last year they talked about corner units versus view units where they could see the lake units plus inside units. This looks like an inside unit to me.
Dead center, yeah.
What it looks like.
Well, there it is. Sorry.
I don't see how they get in their room. I see a hallway.
I got Dan's truck today through the window.
Yeah. I had to get in with that.
Two bedroom, no revenue generated.
It's a two, it's not a three.
It says two. $1,410 to $1,450 That's even smaller than I'm seeing on our.
That was one of their claims, was that the square footage was off.
Hmm.
Is that additional information?
Yes, they said.
Well, the ones that are around them are assessed the same or higher. I'm reading that right.
What do we got them on for?
Well, here's one that's different. Look here. That's 47, 420.
Thank you, Kenny. We didn't have nothing on this.
This fellow just called it off.
That's one of the small.
He's waiting for us to call.
He's waiting for you guys to call. He just called our office.
Go ahead and give him a ring, Ron.
Out on the front, overlooking the boardwalk, you've got one at 47.
Huh?
Click on the front, no, the other direction. Down one. Down two now. That one. That's odd.
Unless that's one of the two bedroom units. That's on for $249,578.
Is it a smaller area?
No, it says 1608, 1560, yeah. 1608.
Yeah, but I think on the other one, their base area is 1608.
Well, you were clicking around, they moved.
I was going to say, some of them are pretty high.
You got,
It's right there. Isn't it? Nope.
Yes.
David Browse.
See, their base area almost says
1608. It's bigger. A little bit.
Those just have some of those.
100 more square feet. It's a lot of difference.
That isn't correct.
Well, we'll...
I don't know what you guys did to me last year.
It's the same as that other one there.
Bad
249.
Whatever you said, there are two something.
Please enter your account code.
Mr. Browse?
Yes.
This is Ron Houseman with the Taney County Board of Equalization.
How are you?
Just fine. We have you on speakerphone. The Board of Equalization is present, which includes the county assessor and county clerk. And we have been perusing the information that you have sent to us, and we're ready to talk to you about your appeal to this board for a lower valuation. Are you ready to chat with us?
Yes.
We will...
Hello.
Well, tell her to get off. She has talked to us. We're ready to chat with you.
All right. Well, and as you said, we kind of tried to summarize the information that we had. We purchased a piece of property recently, closed the end of April. The purchase price was $195,000. We have a unit that is a top type 5. It's a two-bedroom. It's a non-revenue-generating unit in that in order to be used as rental, it has to be rented for a period of 6 months at a time. Our intent is not to rent the unit. That's not what we purchased it for. We notice that there seems to be a difference in the range. We have done a measurement. Our measurement of the unit was closer to the 1450 that they have on the Brandon, on the Branson Landing website. And according to what was on the Beacon website, the range there is between 1608 square feet and 1654 square feet. So that's a fairly significant difference in square footage. We looked at it in terms of also assessed value per square foot. You can see the amount that we came up with. We were looking at it comparing the 1450, the larger of the amounts for the Branson Landing website, and then the 1654, the larger of the amounts on the Beacon measurement. Our unit is located on the interior of the shopping district. We don't have any water view. We don't have any landing square view. We face the Hilton Promenade, and our view is of the promenade and of the parking garage. The thing that when we purchased the unit, and of course I know that the information that the realtors provide is always, and they have those disclaimers on there, talks about the amount that they had it for property taxes was much lower than what we found when we went to the website and researched and noticed that it was assessed for $362,500 with the property tax amount set at six, based on the 68,880. The difference between the purchase price assessed value is $167,500, which, and we do realize that this was a foreclosed unit, but it also had been listed for quite a while. They were, the bank was attempting to sell it, had attempted to sell it at a much higher price, and this is what it sold for. So, similar to how things have worked up here in Jackson County with the purchase. The home that we're living in right now was assessed for $98,000 more than we paid for it. And the assessor lowered it to the amount that we paid for the property. So, and I know that's subject to differences in areas and things like that. The other thing is, though, that looking at some other units, you've got the unit right next door to us, which is 9506, so it's on our side, it faces the same direction, etc. It's also a type 5 two-bedroom, same size, supposedly. Its assessed value is 249.6.
I'd make a motion to this.
$1,900 less than ours.
Mr. Browse?
Yes.
We have looked at the different condos, and most are either at your value or above, but you're right. The property next to yours is at 249.6, and I'm sorry, but someone was getting ready to interrupt us on a motion, I think.
I want to make a recommendation to the board to set this value at 249.6 as the neighboring property.
Motion to set it at that price. I'll second.
Mr. Browser, there's been a motion and a second to establish the value as the same value as your neighbor's property, which is at 249.6. We haven't voted on that yet, but we're still open for discussion. Do you have something else that you'd like to say?
No, we just had the other information, and I definitely appreciate you considering the information that we provided.
We have, I assure you, we have been through that. We have the map and the schematics all up on the wall. We have them on our computers, and we have what you have sent us. All that are in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Sir, you're going to receive a notice in the mail from the county clerk's office outlining what we have done today. You're also going to receive instructions that if, in fact, you wish to appeal this decision to the Missouri State Tax Commission, we will send you that info as well.
Well, we definitely appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. Hope that you have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And what's stand in recess?